Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and we swear to tell the truth. His name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Good morning, Timotheus.
Good morning,
brother.
Checking
here the email and getting tongue-tied.
Yeah.
No email, as a matter of fact.
No email. God's Point of View at yahoo.com.
That's exactly right.
No phone calls right now at 789-0318.
That just about covers it all. No email, no phone calls, but we hope to receive both.
Yeah, some listener out there could remedy that issue.
They sure could. They could pick up their cellular device or their rotary device or their punch device, whatever it may be.
Do they have rotary phones still?
I think so, but I don't know many people that have them.
I'm just wondering if
they do. I don't know.
Somebody just call us up and tell
they
us
could.
They're talking to us on what?
They could. They could make us feel a little bit better about it if, in fact, they would give a yay or a nay. Amen.
Amen.
We'll not spend much time on it.
Or, like we said, God's Point of View. You can send it to us email, godspointofview@yahoo.com. If you got a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you today.
Amen. We would indeed. Beautiful morning, as we were just discussing as we were coming on the air. And
briefly, because you got here about 20 seconds
a little later than usual. About 20 seconds later.
We had about 20 seconds before the song started playing that you walked in the door. So it was a very brief conversation.
Yeah, we didn't have much to talk about. 20% chance of rain, though, I think you said.
That's about it, yeah.
So if you want to mow today, I guess you need to mow during that 80% remaining time.
there you go.
789-0318 or
godspointofview@yahoo.com.
You know, Timotheus, grace is a wonderful subject, isn't it?
It is a wonderful subject. What would we do without it?
I don't know what we would do without it, except I do believe we would be lost without it.
And not only should we, that we are given grace, but we should extend it as well.
Yeah, I think so. As a matter of fact, I think the fact that we do extend grace, those times that we do extend grace, we do so as not to merit salvation, but to show that we are right with God. My treatment of you should be a reflection of my relationship with God. Ooh, that was good, Timotheus.
It was real good.
You want to use that sometime?
Maybe.
Feel free to do
maybe.
So.
Now, is there times, before we go any further, is there times, dare I say, that we don't extend grace?
Of course. Of course, you're absolutely correct.
It's kind of hard, brother.
Well, it's true, though.
Because we've been given a lot of grace.
A lot of grace, but we forget. We forget. Jesus told the story about the fellow that was forgiven a debt.
Yes.
Small sum of money.
Yeah.
$15, $16, $17 possibly, and he was appreciative, or seemed to be appreciative, until he went out and found a brother that owed him considerably less. I'm getting the story turned around.
Yeah, you're thinking about the guy that owed millions.
Absolutely, owed millions of dollars, and went out and found a brother that owed just a few. He was forgiven millions of dollars, but would not forgive the brother who owed a mere pittance. And God, of course, was angry with him because of that. And he said, you know, I forgave you that tremendous debt, and you didn't forgive your brother who owed you a very little. And bottom line is, that's what's going to happen to us if we refuse to forgive. And Jesus makes it even clearer in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, right after that wonderful prayer that he taught, you know, the Lord's Prayer, this is how you should pray. If you don't forgive, he said, neither will your Father forgive you. I think one of the problems, Timotheus, is that we mistaken forgiveness with reconciliation.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
I can't always be friends with you now. I may forgive you, but I may not always be able to restore the relationship.
Hmm.
And that's a sad thing, but nonetheless a true thing. We run into that a lot in the church with families who are seemingly estranged. And they say, well, if I forgive him, then I'm going to have to go back to being abused again. No, you don't go back to being abused again. But you've got to release the prisoner. Mm-hmm. And when you forgive, you release yourself.
Now, what do you mean by releasing the prisoner?
Well, I recently shared a story about a policeman who in 1986 was shot by a teenager over a bicycle.
Yeah.
And that police officer just recently died. Now, I know I said he was shot in 86, and he was. He didn't die then. He became a paraplegic. And during the course of his recovery, he realized that in order to totally recover mentally, spiritually, he had to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And so he forgave the young man. The young man, of course, went to prison, was converted there, became a wonderful example of what Christ would have all of us to become. The police officer gave him, he died in January of this year, and he made I'm paraphrasing now, but he made a wonderful comment about forgiveness, and he said, I realized that I couldn't do anything about my body. My body was going to be this way.
What it was going to
be. Because of the injury.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I had everything to do with my mind, my spirit. If I did not want to imprison my spirit, I had to forgive. So true, so true. I've had husbands and wives in counseling before say that they were in a spat. They got into an argument, and they weren't speaking for a couple of days, and nothing was right. Nothing seemed right around the house. You know what they were saying, Timotheus? If mommy ain't happy,
nobody happy.
There you go. And so, but once they forgave each other,
yeah,
it clears the air. It's a fresh start.
Now, maybe somebody that's been in a relationship or family or whatever the case may be, and you say, you know, I have to forgive them, but we don't have to reconcile. Maybe the other party's saying, well, then you haven't forgiven me, because forgiveness restores everything just like it was.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't, because forgiveness can be instantaneous. Trust takes a little bit longer. You have to learn to trust people sometimes all over again,
mm-hmm.
and that takes time. As long as you're willing to work at it and try to restore the relationship, it may take years. It may take a lifetime, but sometimes it can't be done. It just simply can't be done. Forgiveness is simply defined as, I choose not to hold against you that which the world would seem to believe is my right. In other words, if you injure me, you shoot me,
mm-hmm.
and I become a paraplegic, then our culture would say, well, you have a right to be hostile toward that person. You may have a right from a human standpoint. Look what you've deprived me of, my life, my livelihood, etc., etc. But the spirit is what we're talking about. And the body, of course, will die. The spirit lives on. One of the most difficult things we do, all of us, you, me, our listeners, everybody has tough times with forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this is why it's stressed so much in the Bible. Maybe someone listening this morning, Timotheus, is grappling with that right now. Maybe someone, and haven't you found that it's normally our own family members that give us
the most trouble?
Now, why? Why is that, Timotheus? Stop and think. Who has the potential to love you the most or hurt you the most?
The family.
The family.
Because of the love, the great love, the trust that you put into family.
Yeah. And sometimes we put an unrealistic expectation on family members.
Mm-hmm.
We will suggest to them, well, you should have known. You shouldn't have. Well, only God knows the deepest secrets of the hearts. Only God knows motivations. Only God knows everything there is to know about a person. But we sometimes expect human beings to be able to understand those deep-seated mysteries. Here's an email, brother.
And just came in.
Yeah, let's remind folks that they can email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com or give us a call at
789-0318, 789-0318.
So here's a question about works and about rewards. I understand you cannot work your way to heaven. I think works are to win people to Christ. But can you receive rewards in heaven from your works on earth? An emphatic yes. Absolutely. No question about it. Jesus talks about the fact that he's coming again. Revelation tells us, and other places as well. Matthew 25 tells us about the individuals that were given five talents, two talents, one talent, and two of them doubled their talents.
Mm-hmm.
A talent was a sum of money, mm-hmm. about $1,000. In one of the gospel accounts, he says, here's the talent, or here's the sum of money. Now, occupy till I come. That word occupy means do business.
Get busy.
Get with it. Get with it. Don't just sit down and say, okay, I've got this now. No, you're to invest your time, talent, treasure, and testimony. You are to let it work for you. And so, yes, rewards on earth, very, very important. Rewards for our work on earth, I should say. Rewards for our work in the kingdom of God will pay spiritual dividends in the next world. I believe that with all my heart. Jesus said in Revelation 22, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according," watch this, Timotheus, "as his works shall be."
Mm.
So yes, what we do here on earth is not to merit salvation, but to show that we possess salvation.
Amen. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please. Phone.
Timotheus,
they changed their mind.
They didn't like what you said, maybe.
I wasn't doing the talking.
I know. Oh, that's right. It wasn't you, was it? So rewards, you can certainly lose them too. You can lose rewards. John talks about receiving a full reward. Mm-hmm. See to it that you receive a full
reward. And not only does it go with works, like you said, your time, your talent, your testimony, and your treasure. If you're withholding money because you're trying to hoard it back, or a testimony when you have an opportunity, now I think the Holy Spirit works on us and knows when we're in a position that we need to give a testimony to somebody, then the more we oblige by that, the more reward we're going to have.
Sure,
that
I agree wholeheartedly.
And
sure,
let's see if we've got a
caller. Don't be so mean this time.
I'll try not to. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please. Hello?
Yes. I was listening last week, and the pastor there was talking about not giving up on someone, that you might just step away from them for a little while. And it's been on my mind all week, and I have a situation like that. And I'm not saying I disagree with him, but
I understand.
I feel a little bit different. Doesn't the Bible say something about dusting your feet with people? Because I have a person in my life, and I have tried a family member so very hard to try and try, and I have stepped away for 7 years, actually, and still it's the same. And I was wondering what his comments would be about. I know I don't want to quote it because I don't know exact word for word, but it's about dusting. My papa always told me, you can dust your feet with people, you know.
Yes, and he is listening. He's heard every word you said. And
God bless you.
We'll let him answer. And thank you for listening.
Thank you,
for that being on our mind
thank
all week.
All.
That is a wonderful, humbling.
This is a question that a lot of people have in their hearts and their minds, but they never ask it. They never verbalize it. And thank you for verbalizing it. It's entirely.
Well, I had thought about it all week. I thought, should I call? Should I call?
Always.
Absolutely.
Always.
And you've done the right thing. We appreciate it.
And please stay with us. I don't mean to imply that if you just wait long enough that everything's going to be all right. It may never be all right. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, the 10th chapter, when he sent them out into the commission to preach the gospel, and he told them, he said, now don't provide for yourself. I think this was the context in which we had this discussion last week. Don't provide for yourself, he said, but let you go to someone's home, and they're there to take care of your expenses. They're to keep you. In other words, the labor is worthy of his hire. But he said, if they will not receive you, shake the dust off your feet and move on. And this is a principle that is true of ministry. It is also a principle that is true of dealing with Mr. Public, whether it be our family or someone we work with or just an acquaintance. There are people, sister, that you will never win. Never.
Or never see eye to eye with.
Never see eye to eye.
Sure.
The key is to not let that infect you. That can become a cancer inside you.
Exactly. Yeah, it has.
Well, and may I say, Jerry, that you're always, though, in waiting for that person and ready if the time comes and that person comes back to you and says, it's been 10 years and I did you wrong. That is that the part of where you said not to give up on people, but we're to be ready to reconcile with that person and to say, I forgive you.
Absolutely.
But you can't keep chasing after them and after them and after
them. Yeah, well, that's happened several times, and then it's the same old thing over and over. And finally, I've just had to come to realize that, and it hurts because it's a very close relative, and it hurts.
It does.
But I've just had to kind of realize in life that that's just the way it is.
That's the way
it
is.
And just pray for them and just move on with my life.
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
In your heart, do you still love them, though?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Well, there
Even
you go.
Even though everything, I mean, I try to love everybody, you know. I'm one person that you can, I'll just let you walk all over me, I can keep coming back, you know. But, you know, after a while, it just,
after
it's
a while.
Such a bad relationship, you just gotta let it go. And I was wondering about where my papa always said, you know, dust your feet with him. I was always wondering
your papa,
about that. And I was thinking
was right.
about you all.
Your papa
all
was right. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, if you'd like to look at that later.
I
Matthew
will.
10, 14. One final thought.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, here's a personal testimony. Many years ago, I was conducting business with a fella that didn't see eye to eye with my view of a particular matter. And he became very angry, very irate, very difficult. I have even seen him years later in public places and went to extend my hand to shake hands. And he would say negative things, turn and walk away, would have nothing to do with me, like 20 years later. And then all of a sudden, one day, I got a message from him. And I went to see him. As a matter of fact, he was sick in the hospital, and I walked in the room, and he sat up in the bed and began to cry and motioned for me to come over to him and hugged me and told me that he was sorry and asked me to forgive him. That took about 25 years, not because of anything I necessarily did, but because of some things I didn't do. I didn't badmouth him. I didn't quarrel back at him. I didn't say bad things about him. I just stayed receptive, and eventually he returned. And you know what made the difference? You know why he finally repented? Because he finally repented.
Mm-hmm.
He finally came to Christ.
Yeah.
That'll make all the difference in the world.
I bet that was a wonderful feeling.
Oh, my, it was indeed. Now, he's since gone on to his reward, but I still see his family from time to time, and we talk about that. What a great feeling that is. Yes.
Awesome.
Bless you.
Well, bless you all. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank
you. Keep me in your prayers.
Will do.
Thank you.
And you ours.
Thank you.
All right. My brother, let's see now.
Made an impact
we've got
on
here.
Her for the week.
Yeah, I hope so. Here's another couple of emails.
Oh, wow.
Back to mow this.
Getting busy all of a sudden.
Yeah. Says, okay. All right.
Scanning over a little bit.
Gotta look at it. Here.
Live radio.
Yeah. It says, what do you guys enjoy for fun outside of church? Sleeping.
Yeah, I like that real well. I enjoy washing my truck.
Yeah. There's a lot of folks here who are not Christians that think just because we're Christians, we can't have any fun. I'm a Christian. I feel like I have a lot of fun outside of church. I love certain country music.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just insert bluegrass there. He didn't, but I will. George Jones, Merle, and others. One of the things I took to college with me in 1967 was my collection of George Jones albums.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that strikes my heart right there. I love traveling, fishing, running. I love riding roller coaster, many sports, including NASCAR. In fact, NASCAR is the only sport I can think of where everyone stands for the national anthem. There's a prayer before the event over the loudspeaker, and the only sport where grown men don't smack each other on the rear end after doing something good. And he's got several little emojis there. Little
I think I may know who this person is.
Just wondering what kind of things you guys enjoy. I enjoy helping to raise grandchildren.
I do, too. I love being a papaw. I love, I've got an RV. I do camping. I love camping with my family. I like NASCAR as well, and I think I've brought that up before. And I'll amen the brother. That is the only sport. I can't tell you everything in it is godly.
Yeah.
But they have a prayer. And most of the time, the Lord Jesus' name is mentioned in that prayer, in his name. And I know that, I think that's the only sport that does that.
It's the only one I know about.
So I enjoy that. Been to some races before and, really enjoy that. So.
Do they have the national anthem?
Absolutely, they have
the
national
anthem. Does anyone take a knee?
No.
Okay. All right.
No,
just wondering. I thought I'd throw that out there.
Think you'd get, and I do like watching some sports, but family's the main thing for me. I love my family and my especially
my
grandchildren.
That's a good question. I think a lot of folks think Christians are just really boring people, and you know, just like all classes of people, all categories, if you want to call it category of people. You've got country people, you've got city people, you've got old people, young people. You're going to find all kinds of variations in all of those different areas. You got some people you really like to be with. They're funny.
Mm-hmm.
They keep you laughing. There's good, clean humor. Nothing wrong with that. You got other people who never smile. It's the same way in the church.
It is.
You know, you say same
it
thing.
Is.
People are people.
People.
The difference is some are saved, some are lost.
As our brother Leo says, we're more alike than we are different.
I did hear him say that one time. I think he stole that from somebody, but I don't know who. Anyway, so it's good to hear that brother asking that question.
So what about other than being a papaw? Well, you're soon going to be a papaw again real soon.
I am indeed. Any time. I might have to leave the show here at any moment.
May have to.
I'm kidding. Anyway, about 10 years ago, I started playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I love playing guitar. And even though our little group is not together anymore.
You still play.
I still love to play and still love to sing and still have a good time at that. After 43 years of ministry, I've just about forgot how to do anything else except that.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And we got another phone call coming in. Which one we want to do?
Let's
the phone call?
Let's get it.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yes. I was wondering if a minister tells a person that he is saved, he repents and confesses and everything, and he doesn't tell him that he needs to be baptized, does Jerry think he is going to heaven? That happened to my brother, and it worries me so much. Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
Well, I don't know that it's so much what the preacher has told him. I do know that a lot of people will do just exactly what the preacher says, no more, no less. That's a mistake in the first place. We certainly need preachers.
According to Scripture.
And we need the Word of God. But we need to be our own best student. We need to know what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God needs to be proclaimed, but we're told to examine the spirits, because not all spirits are from God. 1 John 4:1. So that takes the responsibility off the one person. Listen, folks, there have been all kinds of problems arisen over the years because everybody followed one person. Islam. Let's just use that for an example. We haven't been on Islam in a while, Timotheus.
That's true.
You know, here's a fellow that claims he had a vision, and I don't doubt that he had a vision. I do doubt that it came from God. As a matter of fact, I believe it came from the evil one. But he had a vision, he says, and he was given all this information to establish another world religion called Islam. And yet, because a lot of people follow the teachings of that one individual, even though he's been dead now for over 1,000 years, there's all this terrorism in the world today in the
evil.
Name of Islam.
Evil.
I'm not saying that's the only terrorism. There's been all kinds of terroristic activities. But my point is, and I think you get my point, you can't just do what one fellow says to do without knowing for sure. I'm reminded of the Bereans. The Bible says in Acts 17 that the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so that they were being told. So we need to examine the Scriptures. The Bible calls it rightly dividing the word of truth. If I should tell someone something that I know is not right, and they obey that, then I will bear some of their responsibility. But the person bears the responsibility first and foremost. James says, don't many of you be teachers. The reason being is because the teacher is going to receive the greater condemnation.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's unfair to take out a just like it is to read the Scriptures, if a preacher is preaching and you take out of context, and I'm not saying this preacher did, but if you take out of context, you're putting a burden on that preacher. Or if you're just following that preacher and you're never reading your Bible, I think you're putting an undue burden on that pastor, or that preacher.
Yeah.
Well, my salvation depends on what he tells me, but the scriptures will tell you the truth.
They will indeed, and it's my heart that is on trial here. It's not anybody else's heart. They'll have to deal with that themselves with God. But I'm responsible. Every tub stands on its own end, Timotheus.
Amen.
I can't give you a book, chapter, and verse for that, but
it's a great saying.
But it is a great saying, and but there are several book, chapter, and verses for other like things.
A baptism,
sure,
especially.
Sure, and we repent for ourselves. We believe for ourselves. We put ourselves in a position to hear the gospel by that proclaimer. To say that everybody that preaches the gospel is preaching it 100% accurate would be a misnomer. I don't know anybody that's 100% perfect. You, Timotheus?
Not even you.
Not even me.
That's right.
I'll put myself at the top of the list.
Well, now, the sister's concerned because I'm assuming her brother is passed.
That's
he was never baptized. And I don't know if that's a fair thing for us to make a judgment of. God would make a judgment of that.
Well, there's some things we can't know. We can't know the person's accountability status. Mm-hmm. We can't know the person's mental status. A lot of things we don't know. Just to make a general statement, this is the way it is and can't be any other way, is dangerous.
Yeah.
So
it's as dangerous as saying you do or don't.
Absolutely.
Just because that's his thought doesn't mean that's the biblical thought.
I think that we all need to practice something called, and we talked about this at the very beginning of the show.
Yeah.
What was it, Timotheus?
Grace.
This is a test, if you remember. Yes, grace. Grace. There's a passage in 2 Chronicles that would be good for folks to read about the people of God, the people of Israel that had been delivered from captivity, and they wanted to worship God, but they failed to practice and perform some of the prerequisites to worship. And Hezekiah prayed for them, and he said, God, I pray that you'll accept their worship, even though they did some of it ignorantly.
Yeah.
And so how much grace is God going to extend to people? I don't know, but I would rather be a proponent of grace than a proponent of law.
Amen.
So I'm praying that the sister's brother is right with God and everything is good. I would love to see, as Paul told Timothy, all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Wouldn't that be good?
Amen.
That's the heart's desire. Here's another question, Timotheus, via email, via Yahoo, yahoo.com. That's God's point of view.
Amen.
At yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
Some say God is one person, others say God is three. I'm trying to get a better understanding of the Godhead. Please explain. Well, I'm trying to get a better understanding of the Godhead myself.
Are we all?
Yeah.
Because it's so difficult for us.
Yeah.
To understand it, and I think there's some things we weren't meant to understand.
Some things we weren't. The secret things are with God, Deuteronomy 29:29, so states. But there's some things we can understand about it. Let me explain it this way, Timotheus. Don't have a lot of time. Maybe we could pick up here next week, but we'll start. We raised two children. There were four of us in our family for years, and now there's considerably more than that. But we were all individuals. We all had our role to play. We went to school, we went to work, we did our thing during the course of the day, but we all came back in the evening time under one roof, and we all had one goal, and that one goal was for the advancement of our family, to be the best family we could be under God. Now, we were one in that regard, but we were four individuals.
Amen.
I believe, while that's a simple, very elementary, way beneath God explanation, it helps me get a handle on things.
Well, that's where I need it put.
Are you a calf? You need to lay down where the calves
are. I mean, way down.
So we got water. It takes three forms. What's the three forms? Frozen, liquid, and
mist.
Gas, maybe.
Gas. Yeah.
It can take three different forms, and yet it's all the same substance. I like the illustration the little boy gave about the pretzel, those big heart-shaped pretzels.
Yeah.
He said, you know, there's three holes there.
Yeah.
It's just one pretzel.
Just one pretzel. Yeah.
So I think God, again, that's a very oversimplification, but I need it simple. I think most people need it down to where the calves can get it. And so God is three in one. God the Father is the benefactor. God the Son is the Redeemer. And God the Holy Spirit is the Counselor, the Comforter. There's a part B to that question, but We're out of time. We need more time. We haven't said that in a while.
We need more time.
We'll talk about it next week.
And we want to thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. And we'd like to invite you to services. Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m., Sunday life groups at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And that's Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. Thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.